This is the Dudes in Christ podcast. What's poppin'? This is the Dudes in Christ podcast. I'm your host, Justin Fowler.
I'm Josh Cullum.
Joshua Garris.
What's up?
Not
Sunday
much.
Morning.
Yeah, another early morning.
What are we drinking here? Lemon HDZ?
Heads.
Heads.
Oh, heads. I got
you. Lemon head.
Is that a new one? I haven't seen that one.
No. Oh. I had a special order these.
Whoa.
They don't.
That's when you know you're serious about your caffeine.
They don't keep them in stock. Kind of like your cases of Monster you buy.
Well, true. True. So what y'all been up to?
Not much. Getting ready for vacation next week.
Next week? Already?
Family vacation.
It is June, ain't it?
Yep.
Where y'all going?
Branson.
Ooh. Going to stay in a cabin or something?
No, we're staying like 3 miles from the strip.
Cool.
So.
That'd be fun. Taking the whole crew?
Yeah, we got a full week planned out.
Nice.
Mostly go-kart racing or
me and the boys have been about it, and yes, Tab's sir. Like, I don't know if I want to do that all day. And then everybody I've talked to is like, y'all doing the go-karts? Yes.
Well, then you're going to get there and she's going to get the fastest one.
God. Yeah. I think we're going to get day passes to the track.
That'd be awesome.
We got multiple different ones to pick from.
Heck yeah.
You can eat a Cornish game hen at Dolly Parton Stampede.
No, we're not going to go there.
Big old turkey leg.
No.
Yeah, that's changed. The name's changed now, ain't it?
So, yeah. It's Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton. Okay.
Yeah. Right, what he said.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we're going to go see the illusionist there. Reza, I think's the name. Mm-hmm. Looks pretty cool. I watched a YouTube video on it. So just kind of see what it was like before we spent the money on it.
Try it before you buy it.
Yeah.
Gave away all the secrets.
I already know all of them.
Oh. Well, don't ruin it for me, please.
don't point her out. Hey, yeah. I know what you're doing.
What have you been up to, Justin?
Man, I just been rolling through, man. Training's going pretty good, coming off a deload. Squats felt good. Bench felt good. I had the hiccup yesterday with my sugar kind of bottoming out, so deadlifts didn't go too well, but it's all good. So I hired, you know, we talked about it, I hired the nutritionalist, and that's going pretty good. It's helped keeping me in line. When you if you got to tell somebody like, hey, I messed up, it's a lot for me. It's like it's a lot easier for me to
tell them you had to have a candy bar to get your sugar back up because she's filling you there.
I did log that. I did log it. So yeah, I talked to her yesterday about it, and actually this morning a little bit, and she's already changing some things up to kind of mitigate that. Nice. I think it's possibly, you know, because I was kind of slowly cutting it like 3,000, and she's got me like 2,500 to 2,600. I guess probably this is the first week, so I'm sure she's probably just kind of establishing the baseline and going from there. But I don't know if it's that big caloric drop, you know what I mean, compared to what I've been used to. But it's going good. I'm excited and happy. What about you, Ruckus?
Yeah, I'm excited and happy, man.
So
I mean, I came off of a deload as well. Probably during the deload, probably should have kept some of the intensity higher, which my coach was almost said sick. He was out due to the motorcycle wreck or whatever. So I programmed my own and I was just lazy about it. So I just came in, did little accessory things, and basically like kind of took the week, to be honest, to catch up on like more of the business stuff at the gym, cleaning and organizing and stuff like that. And then while I was in there, I would do a little bit of accessory stuff. And then I jumped back into the training that he sent me this week. And it just felt,
you know, it felt heavy, but
yeah,
it came along fine. No problems to speak of. Got some new people at the gym, so getting the
chance.
Yeah,
we seen a couple. Yes, it was Thursday night. Seen a couple new newbies.
Oh,
in there.
Like in the later evening or yeah. whatever. Yeah, yeah. Got a couple people in there. They seem some of them have a little bit more experience than others, and they're all eager to learn though. So I mean,
awesome.
I'm enjoying that. Again, kind of run into the delicate balance between trying to train with intensity
yeah.
yourself. And also slowing the pace down to turn around and show somebody else what yeah. to do. And,
yep.
you know.
That's a talent in itself. You know, that's because a lot of meatheads, you know, they're just focused about themselves. Like, oh, this is my time to train. Don't talk to me. But, yeah. but it really does take a talent to be able to shift your focus and pivot, you know, at a moment's notice.
I'm still developing it. So, but I mean, you know, it is what it is. It's fun. You know, it takes a toll, but it's good. But yeah,
I seen your coach. I guess he's moving around a little bit better now. I think I seen a couple pictures of him fishing and little. He's putting like progress videos on Instagram if he'll walk. So that's good that he's yeah. in high spirits and. You know, on the road to recovery for sure.
For sure. Yeah. I bet. And I apologize. I feel bad that because I didn't even notice that. I hadn't seen it and I don't have Instagram or anything. But I mean, I'm sure
no it's reason a long, to feel bad.
Yeah. Well, okay. Okay. Good. Well, I'm sure it's a long road ahead of him. So, yeah. I mean, yeah,
oh, for sure.
The higher you can keep your spirits, the better, probably. Yeah,
definitely. Definitely.
So, I got a question. Have y'all watched The Chosen?
I have not.
Have you watched it? The Chosen?
No, sir.
And I've been hearing a lot about it, and I was listening to the Unashamed podcast, and they interviewed the director or writer of it. Man, it is, I think it's something, it's free to everybody, and they are crowdfunded, so they aren't under any media company telling them what they can and can't do. And
really?
You know, just listening to the way that it's kind of done out, they say you kind of can understand the life of Jesus, like, you know, they have their reserves on, you know, how are we to represent him, you know, and feeling
yeah.
like they're not worthy of it, which in all reality, we aren't
right.
worthy. But, you know, just something good put out now, today, and then, so.
Is that on Netflix, or do you know?
And I don't know. You can get that. See, they have an app, it's the Chosen app, and you can, supposedly from your phone, you could push it straight Stream to your Roku device or Apple TV or whatever.
I have to check that out.
And it's all free.
Wow.
So
sweet.
And then if you want to send in donations, it helps them. I think they have 3 seasons now. So
wow. You have to check that out.
And I think if I'm not mistaken, the other person who I heard about it from said that for $15 or something like that, it guarantees that, you know, another person can see it for free or you know, something to that effect. Like
yeah.
Yeah. pass on.
So that's cool.
That the is
opportunity
cool.
to pay it forward and stuff.
Yeah. And that I think so what he was saying, the same thing with like their gift shop on their website. You know, if you buy a t-shirt or if you don't have a way of streaming, you could buy the DVDs, old school, stuff like that. But
DVD.
I think
you heard that in a while.
You know, old all school. Their, all anything they bring in is a way of paying it forward to keep it free for everybody. And they have a study guide. You can get a study guide and go along with it as you watch it.
That's cool.
And then they, are big. I think one of the very beginning opening credits is, you know, follow along in your Bible, read yeah. your Bible. So
encouraging cool. people to read their Bible.
Yeah. So, awesome. Awesome. Well, today we're going to talk about something that in some people's eyes is controversial. It's kind of, I think it's against what some of the teachings Paul has taught about faith and works. In the book of James, you'll see that he states that faith without works is dead. So what does dead mean? What you know, what is that all about? Just a little background on the book of James or James itself. He's pretty close to Jesus. He was actually his brother. So he kind of walked with him, kind of was pretty close to him for one. So a lot of the reformist people like Martin Luther and stuff like that have kind of discredited the book of James. They didn't really like, they were thinking, in my mind, the only reason I can see is they were thinking that James was challenging Paul's writings in, like, that you earn your salvation. But if you kind of read the book of James, I don't see him tying that works into salvation. You know, he says your faith is dead. So just a little, you know, thought about that. Kind of what I wrote down is, like, good works is a byproduct of genuine faith. And let me just read the kind of the controversial verse, if you will. We'll be in James 2, starting at verse 14. I think maybe down at 19 or something. But what good is it, dear brothers and sister, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. So that's kind of some strong words, especially when we know salvation is through faith alone. But to kind of maybe switch the thinking a little bit is kind of think of things as an expectation. You know, I think James is talking about action here more so than what you actually do. So thinking of things in an expectation format will open up the book of James and how this faith works relationship goes together. We go to work, we expect a paycheck. We go to the doctor, we expect them to make us better. We go to the gym, we expect to get bigger, faster, stronger most of the time. But we have faith in God. What are we expecting? You know, I think it's in Philippians 2:13. Thumb over quick. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. So works being a byproduct of genuine faith is how I see the book of James. And going back to the expectation, everything is shaped by the expectation we carry. You know, if we expect to be promoted at a job or something like that, we're usually going to put effort in doing that. Or if we can look at LeBron James, I don't know if y'all probably don't watch the NBA, but they were going down. I think it was game 6 or something.
He flopped.
Well, he went to the locker room early.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I'm like,
he did it again, bro. The last game.
So, you know, his expectation was lost at that point. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously, it'd take a miracle for them to win. But, you know, just when you expect to lose, your actions show that. So if we're a child of God, we've been given this measure of faith, the only way to grow that is by some type of action. You know, we can't just sit back. We've all heard the saying, we've all heard the saying, I wrote it down because I know for God gives you a promise, you can't lean on a shovel and expect to hoe. You know, it takes some type of action. I think, and that's kind of what the book of James really speaks to me is action. it's not a works for your salvation standpoint, because we can never do what Jesus did by dying on the cross. You know what I mean? We don't deserve that. We can't work our way for it. But once we accept the Spirit of God, there should be some type of transformation, as he says here, that takes place in our lives. Now we're sometimes critical of ourselves, and we kind of view our action by a week by week basis. But if you think back to some of the people that have been saved for quite some time, you know, look at yourself when you were first saved and look at yourself now. Are there stepping stones where your actions were more placed towards God's will? You know, and if not, I think James is encouraging, because the book was written because he's seen a problem in the early church where there was a lot of Christians, but there was a lot of Christians not acting like Christians.
Yeah.
And so I view Book of James like a New Testament Proverbs, because I mean, it's just full of wisdom. It's full of one-liners. It's full of just good information. What did y'all take from any of it, or how do y'all feel about it?
I mean, it's kind of the same way. It's if you tell me you believe in something, you're going to have to show me that you believe what you're saying.
Yeah.
So there has to be some type of action along with your faith.
Right.
it makes later on down in verse 21, it talks about Abraham when he takes Isaac to the altar.
In Genesis?
Yeah.
Let's go there.
And then
was like, what?
Go ahead. I got into kind of when we first see Abraham, when he's still called Abram, in chapter 12, the Lord said, Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you, and tells him what all he's going to do. And in verse 4, it says, so Abram departed. Yeah. He didn't question. He right. left his family, his native country, his relatives, everything.
Yeah.
And so
God gave him a promise, but it took him departing.
Yeah.
You know, he couldn't stay there.
And there's multiple examples all through the Bible of someone being told something by God and then immediately acting, no questions.
Yeah. And it's tough to do sometimes. You yeah. know, sometimes it's...
Yeah, no. If God tells you right now, hey, I want you to move out of your house, give it to your neighbor.
Yeah.
Leave your wife and kids.
Like,
well, that's not God speaking.
Yes, it's God
that's
speaking.
The devil.
Man, to me, I don't know. I took a lot of this as just obedience.
Yeah.
And that word sometimes is heavy
yeah.
in our mouth. I mean, truthfully, like, it's convicting to me to even think it or say it, because, you know, I feel like that's a problem we all have at, mm-hmm. at one time or another. But the faith without works question, I feel like it's a double-edged sword and can be dangerous at times, because how many arguments have we heard made for the goodness of people based on
yeah.
works? And,
yeah.
you know, it in the back of my head, and unfortunately, I think I have fallen short as far as just being too afraid to say, you know, when I've heard that argument made, like, to really stand up for what I know to be true and be like, does, you know, good works are great, but does the yeah. person know Jesus? You know, I mean, like,
right.
yeah. are the bases covered? Like, does he, you yeah. know, because good works aren't going to amount to anything
yeah.
Without true salvation. And so on the other side of true salvation, you know, once we have known and accepted, I think the work stuff often comes down to you know, really just obedience, because I actually was looking in Matthew 25 and basically the entire chapter is, to me, just really stood out. And of course it's Jesus, and he's just come from Matthew 24, which if you've never read that, go back and that's, I don't know, man, that is like one of the hardest, standalone chapters in the Bible for me to try to digest. But you get to 25, and I don't pretend to be a Bible scholar. I don't know if you would call this like a parable. You know, he's just, I mean, basically Jesus is just saying the kingdom, basically likening the kingdom of heaven to various things. And in all of these things, you see a need for direct action, and then you see the result of the omission of that direct action. And one of the things that really stood out to me is you don't see any mention of doctrine or belief. So I have to assume that you're talking about, you know, the kingdom of heaven. So you're already on the other side of belief. Right. You know, when he talks about the 10 virgins and, you know, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, and you're just looking at a story about preparation. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the bridegroom coming, and, you know, historically, I don't have any reference as far as like what, a bridegroom and 10 virgins, like what, what that's about. So I may have to, you know, go back and brush up or dig pretty deep into that. But I mean, some were prepared, and they knew that the bridegroom was coming. Like there's no question as to whether or not, you know, they knew he was on his way. And some, you know, the work there was just preparation, and some didn't prepare, and some did, and some were accepted, and some were rejected. Yeah. Which to me kind of, you know, it calls back into question what James is saying. I feel, you know, I mean, he says in James, what was the 2:14, the question, can faith save him? So I'm not going to get into all that, but I mean, you see what happens when no works are done. At, you know, 25:1-13 is the 10 virgins, and then what I feel like one that really stood out to me more personally was Matthew 25:14-30. You're talking about the talents given to the various servants. And, you know, the call to action is like, are you doing something with what you've been given? And are you giving God a return, you know, on what he's invested in you? And I think a lot of times, again, that kind of conviction rising up in me and putting a lump in my throat is, you know, I kind of want, sometimes I want more from God.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that kind of begs the question, like, well, what are you doing with what he's already given you? Right. Because, you know, he's given you plenty that you're not using, and you're expecting more on the other side of it. And, you know, we see what happens when the guy who was given one talent buried it in the ground, and because he was afraid of the master. Let me give me just a second. I'm gonna look into this.
Probably around 24, maybe.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. And by the tone of that, he sounds pretty proud of himself. Yeah.
Look what I've done. I didn't mess nothing up.
It's a little dirty, but I didn't lose it. And you know, you look down in 28, and therefore the talent was, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given,
and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have even that, what he has will be taken away. So, I mean, there's a call to action there, and that yeah. and that may be the very most minimal thing. And I certainly would not point out that anyone has, you know, less talent or whatever, but we all
need more action, sir.
Know, when we take a measure of ourselves, I mean, we know. And if not, then by God, pray about it yeah. and, you know, ask God to reveal through the Holy Spirit what is your, you know, what are you actually called to do? I've got a post-it note on my desk at work, and it's got five or six things listed that just over the course of my years, you know, in my walk with God, kind of scattered as they have been and whatever. I mean, stuff that's just been slowly revealed to me. And I guarantee you, if I don't get to work on those five or six things, I'm not going to be adding anything else to the list. Yeah. At least I wouldn't think so. And then you go down to Matthew 25, 31 through 46. And the king shall answer and say unto them, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And then I think, you know, done it is pretty self-explanatory. You're not. Then that was the other thing that James mentioned. You can talk about something. You can wish well upon someone.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of direct them in the right direction, which is ludicrous, you know, right. in most. Because and usually when we come across someone who has a need, there's something that really pierces our hearts, because it's probably something that we know deep down we have the means to help them with. And again, that can be very simple or it can be substantial, you know, like a lot of times, you know, I think financial need comes down to, you may very well have that financial need yeah. yourself, and you're having to step out on faith, you know, and plant a seed somewhere. I know that, you know, that's happened to me more than once. So, but you know, he's just saying, the king, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And the people he's talking to won't understand. You know, he's separating the sheep from the goats.
Yeah.
And even in that, there's not necessarily a lot of understanding, but it's, you know, in as much as you did it to the least of me, these my brethren, and you did it unto me. And then if you look at 41 through 46, you see, like I said, the sin of omission. And I mean, it's hard to read because we, again, it kind of comes back to the, James asking, will faith save you, you know, without works? And pretty clearly here, I mean, I don't want to step on any kind of doctrine. As I said, I'm not any theologian, but he'll say unto those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. So on and so forth. And they'll ask, you know, when do we see you hungry or thirsty? When do we see you naked or sick? And he'll answer them, assuredly, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment. So for me, you know, that's something that's hard to reconcile. I mean, it's like it calls for further study, which is usually, unfortunately, the result of my studying. Yeah. It's like it just opens the door to more study.
That's good, though.
Because all throughout you read that, you know, our faith is what saves us. This definitely, for me, you know, I'm not going to say it calls that into question. I believe it. But there's some action that he's yeah. asking us to do, and it doesn't sound like it's going to be great if we're lacking in that. So, right.
To me, that's just the overreaching goal of I wouldn't say overreaching. That's probably a wrong term, but
powerlifting terminology.
Yeah. Yeah, this big head talk here, just
aggressive overload.
Yeah. But it's to put action behind your words. It's to put action behind God's word, most definitely. You know, you'll see in James 1:22, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. And it's basically saying, hey, once I've decided to walk this road, it's a continual walk. It's not something that we sit on, kind of like you mentioned in the guy of the talent. You know, he sit on it, and then when he came back for it, he's like, hey, here it is, the same way you left it. And like you talked about earlier about, you know, other people's works or action, if you will, we're definitely not to judge it. And then also in our own doing, you know, we need to realize too that this action is not only for, but it's from the Holy Spirit, you know, birthing something in me. And then, you know, it's a just me being the willing vessel. We never want to become confident in ourselves or become boastful in our actions. That's not what James is talking about. You know, he's talking about doing what the word says to do. And we have to be kind of cautious, like you said about, you know, the question, you know, are they saved or do they have Jesus in their heart? And this is tough to say because somebody listening might not agree, but being just a good old boy won't get you to heaven from what I read. I'm not, yeah, not the one who makes that decision, but it takes, bringing Jesus in your heart, like we talked about the last episode. So, that was my biggest thing that I took from this is action, the answer to keeping your faith from becoming stagnant. You know, you want it moving, you want it working, you want it flowing.
Well, and my thing is, if you're going to just the statement, faith without works is dead, makes me think of like the leaven, you know, the leavening the whole loaf and things like that. If something is alive, it's ideally growing and producing. And faith is spectacular as it is, you know, what it's the basis for our salvation, you know, faith in Jesus. But Jesus in Matthew, you know, Matthew 25, I'll make sure that's correct, might be 26, yeah, Matthew 25, is talking about the kingdom. And the kingdom isn't growing just based on your faith. Yeah. Like the kingdom's not spreading based on your faith. And I feel like the talent thing really, you know, brings that into, yeah, perspective. Is if your talent's hidden in the ground, and you know you've got your measure of faith, and you're just sitting on it, I mean, the kingdom's not growing.
Yeah.
You're rewarded based on, again, getting into that choppy, dicey stuff, but, yeah, you know, I mean, you see right there, they're rewarded for doing, yeah, something with what they've been given. So, yeah, and to go back to that question, use the term good old boys. If you're listening right now, I urge you to, you know, search yourself and ask God to search your heart. And, you know, if you're a good old boy and, you know, nothing wrong with it, but, do you believe in, you know, do you believe Jesus was who he says he was, who he is, who he says he was, in any event, past, present tense, you know, and if not, come to terms with yeah, that. So
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have faith, you're definitely going to have an action with it. I can kind of what I'm getting from it is he's kind of defining faith more.
Yeah.
That's to cool. Us. It's easy to say, I believe something, but I can say, I believe right, a lot of things. But the way that I act will show you, just like with this pandemic, when we had people's, you know, was it masks save lives? But then you'd see them without a mask. If you're that worried about it, you'd have one on. If you really believe what you were saying,
yeah,
you'd be true, wearing one.
Yeah.
So there's action that defines faith.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good stuff. Man, a few words, but they're powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I mean, you got anything else brewing on the heart?
Well, if you want to read great examples of faith, yeah, Hebrews chapter 11, you just go through there, it tells of multiple examples of faith and when you read.
Yeah. And hey, can we, before we, let's preface this. You're about to read the Masters of Faith chapter. Before we do, if you are listening to this and you're about to hear him go through the checklist of like the all stars of faith, if there are any of these you have not heard of, or you're just like, okay, you know, because he's barely gonna poke at them, Google search that mess and go back and read it, read the story of it for yourself, please. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not reading all of them. We don't have time, and even
challenge down here, read Hebrews 11 for yourself.
Hebrews 11 verse 32. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson. So, but you know, some of our big ones, like our main characters that we are grew up more with, I guess, as a child, the stories you hear. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. So there was action in his faith. It's by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. So there was action. He pleased God. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about the things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise, and so a whole nation came from this one man, who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. So, and you can read through this whole chapter, and just like Josh said, go back and recount these stories, look them up, read through it.
Yeah, so, I mean, just in summary, James isn't contradicting the words of Paul. He's just saying, hey, this faith thing... It kind of requires some action with it. So.
Yeah, be careful. You pull up YouTube, like we've all said, read your word.
Yeah.
And always check up on, no matter who tells you something, if it's your own pastor, read the Bible, look it up for yourself. Because just a quick YouTube search, one of the videos I pulled up this morning sitting in the parking lot was saying that James contradicts Paul.
Yeah.
And was trying to give evidence to that and, you know, may have some sort of a background as somewhat of a, to be able to stand on, something to stand on there. But, you know, I think we have to read into it more for what God meant for us.
Yeah.
Because everything in the Bible is meant for us, even though James is writing to the Jews. It says in the first verse that he's writing to the 12 tribes.
Yeah.
But everything in the Bible is meant for us. We can all learn from it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I have... And you talked about Matthew 24 earlier. We're not going to talk about that.
Oh, Jesus, Lord.
But next, I don't know if he'll touch on that or not. So the next episode we will have Pastor on. We'll talk about some kingdom stuff and dig deep. So that you'll want to come back and check that out. If I know him, he's going to have a lot of scripture to kind of go with everything. But
maybe a little bit of a longer episode too.
Yeah.
So we'll, for people that's been wanting more.
Yeah, be ready for this one.
Yeah,
brew some coffee and make popcorn if that's your thing. Something.
Be ready.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Awesome. So, hey guys, United Voices Zion, we'd love to have you guys come be with us here in person. And we love you guys. We're out.